Your personal information is being sold online right now. Not by hackers, but by data brokers. Companies you've never heard of collect your details and sell them. Hundreds of these sites gather your phone number, home address, relatives' information, and browsing activity. Once your data is out there, it spreads fast. That's why scam calls know your name, and strangers can look you up in seconds. Opting out manually takes hours per site. With no guarantee it stays gone. Aura does it for you. They automatically find your information, send removal requests to over 200 data broker sites, and continuously monitor to ensure it stays completely gone. Because your data can be relisted at any time, Aura lets you see exactly where and when your data was found and removed. Try Aura for free at aura.com/safe. That's aura.com/safe. To try Aura for free.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starr.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy day to you. Oh, it's Thursday. It's been one of those. Have you ever, been through one of those weeks? It just seems to go on and on and on and on and on. Yeah, this is one of those weeks. And so anyway, happy Thursday to you. I sort of lost track of the days, hoping and praying we get to the weekend. We have got a lot going on today. Of course, the Barack Hussein Obama Death Star opens to the public today, and we're monitoring all of those developments. Interesting stories that are percolating about the Obama Death Star. We're going to get to that. This situation with Iran, and we're going to open up the phone lines today. I'm going to share with you what yours truly has had to go through over the past, 48, 72 hours, because it's ugly out there. It is ugly out there, ladies and gentlemen. Ugly. U-L-G-Y ain't got no alibi. Ugly out there in the world of politics. So I'm going to, and that's where we're going to start out. This is not a pity party. So Dylan, it is not a pity party. But I think people need to understand what it's like when we're not on the air here, and the sorts of things that we hear, and the people that reach out to us, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think.
I wouldn't say so.
Cheaper than therapy.
Very, very much free.
Well, exactly. It's free. That's the operative word. So look, here's the bottom line. There are so many people talking about the memorandum of understanding. They call it the MOU or the MAL. I call it the Memorandum of Understanding because the other two things are weird. Now, there are very distinct sides here. And these two sides, by the way, are really for Republicans, right? So you've got one batch of Republicans that wants to bomb the living daylights out of Iran. And you've got the other side that says we shouldn't have been over there in the first place. So we got to get out of there. We've got to get out, declare victory. Let's get back to life as we know it, because attacking Iran is not an America first position. So those are the two very distinct camps. All right. By the way, within that cluster, you've got, and trust me, it is a cluster. Within those clusters, you've got the pro-Israel crowd and you've got the anti-Israel crowd. And you can call them what you want, anti-Semites, Jew haters, whatever. But you've got those folks involved. And so then you've got folks like yours truly. And I sort of see everybody's side on this. I will, however, my position has been and always will be that we should have gone in and obliterated Iran in the first place. Now, my philosophy, my overarching philosophy in life when it comes to Donald J. Trump is the man has never, ever let me down. Has he let you down, ladies and gentlemen? Has he done something that you were just horrified by? Because He hasn't done that, at least not in my estimation. As a matter of fact, Donald Trump's been the only politician in my lifetime who actually delivered on all of his campaign promises. And some of you are saying, well, what about the war? I'm going to get to that. Just hang tight for a second. But Donald Trump has never let me down. He's never lied to me. He's always been honest. I may not have agreed with him on some issues, but overwhelmingly I have, more so than any other president. And so, me, I'm willing to give the president the benefit of the doubt. And before we go any further, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this, and this is very important, because you've got everybody out there. Everybody's talking about it. The sources are telling Fox News, a senior White House official read the memorandum verbatim to Newsmax. The New York Times has... Forget all of that. Just forget all of it. Until we actually see the memorandum on the White House website or Donald J. Trump's Truth Social account, I'm not believing it. I'm not believing anything. So the other day, I posted a link to a Newsmax story. It was literally on the Newsmax website. And the allegation is that the Iranians are going to get, what, $300 billion? So basically, it's another pallets of cash sort of a deal, like Barack Hussein Obama. But that's not what it is. I mean, at the end of the day, we're not giving them all that cash. Or we may. I don't know, because nobody knows. Nobody knows. You know, the Trump administration, they say that they are the most transparent in history, and they are to some extent. However, they have not released the memorandum of understanding. Therefore, none of us know what the deal is. You say, Todd, is that a problem? Yes, it's a problem. But I'm just telling you, all you folks getting riled up out there about what we are or are not going to give the Iranians, there's no reason to right now, because nothing is official. And hear me on this. Every single thing that's in the memorandum that's been reported, that all may be true. But right now it's unverified conjecture. And that concerns me. You know, we were having a staff meeting about this for the Newsmax show today. And the first question I asked is, have we received confirmation from the White House? Have we received from the White House the official memorandum of understanding? And no, the answer is no, we haven't. So my suggestion is just release it. I mean, if you've already signed it, let's put it out there. Let's everybody take a good long look at it. Take a gander and see what's actually in there. And I will say this, if we really are giving $300 billion to the Iranians, I'm going to be the first person on the radio hollering and screaming about that. So anyway, I want to go back to this thing I shared about the $300 billion, and it was in the Newsmax headline. I shared the story on our X feed, and I added something. Never thought I would see a headline like this in Newsmax. One of the president's top, I guess, advisors on social media tore yours truly a new one. How dare you, Starnes? You're spreading misinformation. This is not true. It turns out that your podcast is sponsored by Salem, which is owned by the Jews. Wait, what? What is going on here? And so this is part of a strategy coming from Trump world to just obliterate anybody who now objects to whatever the memorandum of understanding is. I got a problem with that. I got a big problem with that. First of all, in Trump world, you should not have to pledge allegiance to every single thing the president does or the administration does. There are going to be some things you have a genuine disagreement about. That doesn't mean I hate the president. That doesn't mean I'm the president's enemy. It means that I just disagree with the president. And you know, there are a lot of people out there, and I'll give you a great example. There's a guy named David Kustoff who is a congressman. He's a congressman. He is my congressman here in the Memphis area. And there are people out there, oh, well, you know, he's a Trump-hating rhino, that Kustoff. And I'm like, really? Wow. Well, this is what I was getting when I first moved back home. Oh, yeah, he's a moderate, you know, that he's a liberal rhino. Really? So I went to go look at his voting record. He's like votes. The guy votes 90%+ of the time with Donald Trump. Yeah, but that 8%. I'm like, okay, it's, do you agree? Let me ask you, husbands, wives, do you agree with each other 100% of the time? Dylan, no, I'm not going to ask you. I don't want to put you on the spot, Dylan.
You can. It's okay.
Do you agree with your wife 100% of the time?
Yes. <You did. laughs> No.
That's a great answer.
Of course I do.
Oh, he's a newlywed, ladies and gentlemen. But just think about this. Does that mean you hate your wife? I mean, if you disagree, it's like, honey, I think we should have watched, you know, the football game instead of, I don't know, some romance novel on the Lifetime TV. No, that doesn't mean that doesn't mean you need to hire a divorce attorney. So then on the other side, so I'm catching holy you know what now from some of these Trump folks who I've never even heard of simply for sharing a story and not even offering an opinion, because I have not offered an opinion. Because why, Dylan? Why have I not offered an opinion on the memorandum of understanding?
Why, Todd?
Because I haven't seen it yet.
Yep.
So that's, we do not get the proverbial horse in front of the cart, if you will. So while all that's going on, this has been my life here. So I'm catching holy you know what from people. Oh, we always knew that Starnes was a leftist. He's a closet Democrat. Where is this coming from? Oh, what was it? Never mind. I can't go there. I'm not going to go there. So then on the other side that says we need to bomb them to smithereens. So yes, I agree. But if you don't agree with every single thing, because their thing is you have to bow down and worship Israel. And if you object to Israel or you say anything about Israel, that makes you a Jew hater. So here's my take on this. I am somewhat dreading the calls we're going to get today, but we're going to take them all. But here's my take on this. Donald Trump was right to be angry and upset with Benjamin Netanyahu. And the fact of the matter is, Israel, they've been asking for our help. We go over there. We try to help them. We try to defend them, and we are doing that. The president's trying to work out some sort of a peace deal, if there's one that's to be had. And then Israel is turning around, and they're bombing Lebanon. Now, let me put a pin there for just a minute. So go back to the other side that hates my guts right now. And the other side is saying, well, Israel should just stop, right? And that's the president of the United States says, just because we had some audio yesterday, just because, you know, there are bad guys in an apartment building doesn't mean you have to blow up the entire apartment building. Okay, that's great. But let's just say we've got a bunch of Mexicans and they're firing rockets into Brownsville, Texas, and El Paso. All right. Do you think the United States, if Israel said, Mr. President, we really like Mexico. We really don't want to stir things up, so you're going to need to stay. You cannot retaliate, Mr. President. You think that Donald Trump would listen to Netanyahu? No, we blow the smithereens out of Mexico. Pardon me, Mexico. We try to enunciate correctly here and pronounce the words correctly, like Guatemala, for example. The G is silent. So anyway, so you've got all those. So now I'm like, yes, that's actually, why would we tell Israel to stop? But at the same time, Trump is trying to work out a deal here. So I get where the president's coming from, but I get where Israel's coming from. They've got a valid point. But here's the thing. Now Israel says, well, you know what? We're just going to be independent. Okay, well, fine. Be independent. Go fight your fight. But the United States doesn't have to be there. The United States, why should we put our sons and daughters in harm's way? Keep in mind, the only reason that we went over there in the first place was to make sure that Iran could not make nuclear bombs. We were going to destroy their nuclear capabilities. My only question, did we do that? Yes or no? That's the question everybody ought to be asking, yes or no. It's not about regime change, not about boots on the ground, not about oil, which it really is about oil, but none of that. It's that one question. did we accomplish our single goal? Because remember, that was the only reason we went over there. And I will say this. J.D. Vance appears to have won the day, but J.D. Vance is in a really tough pickle right now because Donald Trump made him the face of this deal, which is really not a deal. It's a memorandum of understanding. But if things go south, J.D. Vance, his butt's in a sling here, ladies and gentlemen. And let me tell you something. Body language says everything. Happy-go-lucky Marco Rubio, have you been seeing the photographs and the videos? He is not happy because he got sidelined. He got sidelined here, and for me, that is a concern. Our war secretary got sidelined here. That is a concern for me. But again, at the end of the day, nobody's seen the memorandum. Nobody. We're going to wait. We're going to see how this plays out. There have been some reporting that this may be another 60 days. Ladies and gentlemen, we watch clocks on this program. And I warned you that if we are still in the middle of chaos in the Middle East come November, all I can tell you is that by February of next year, Donald Trump will be impeached. That's what is at stake here. A lot is riding on this. So we've got to make sure we get it right. But my point here is this. To both sides, knock it off. It's okay to disagree. That doesn't mean that you're a Jew hater. It doesn't mean that you're a never Trump Democrat. It means you just simply disagree. But we've got to start playing smart politics here, folks. We will see how it all plays out. We're going to be going to the phones here, 901-260-5926. Our telephone number, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hey, guys, quick heads up. This is actually a big one. We're saying goodbye to something that's helped thousands of families over the years. The Patriot Power Generator, one of the best-selling solar generators of 2025, is officially being retired. And the reason? They've just released something even better. It's called the Patriot Power Generator 2200X, and this is their most powerful model yet. It's built for real-life situations, storms, outages, emergencies, when you need power the most. To launch it, they're doing something pretty crazy right now. You can get $500 off the generator, plus they're including two free solar panels, so you can double your charging power right out of the box. They're also throwing in a heavy-duty roll-in go-kart, an extended 3-year warranty, and if you're a senior or a veteran, you can save an additional $200. And here's the part that really stands out. Because they offer a payment plan, you can get started today for just $299, and it ships as soon as tomorrow. But this is a limited launch offer. It's first come, first served, and these kinds of deals don't stick around, especially with how unpredictable power outages have been lately. So if you've ever thought about having backup power for your home, now's the time to do it. Stay safe, stay prepared, and don't wait until the lights go out. Go to StarnsPrepper.com right now to take advantage of this limited time offer.
All right, we are listening to the opening music of the Barack Hussein Obama presidential Death Star. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. It's so ominous, Dylan. I'm scared.
I think that's actually where they're going to film the next one.
They've got to.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You can buy a ticket to get inside, but you don't come out. Sorry, I'm mesmerized by the music here. So I'm curious here. We've got to give it a name, ladies and gentlemen. And I know we have a very clever audience. So we need your help in naming what we're calling this, whatever. What do we want to call this? Dark, drab, gray, dystopian obelisk. It's like it looks like a North Korean prison camp guard shack, right? Guard tower. Others have said it bears a striking resemblance to some sort of a Death Star from Star Wars. But it's opening today, and there's a pretty big crowd of folks there. Not a lot of diversity in the crowd. I just wanted to point that out. It turns out this is the most expensive presidential library in the history of presidential libraries. $1 billion, Dylan. That's how much it cost. $1 billion.
That's a lot of money for it to look like that.
They're already used. They've already got cracks that in the concrete because they use DEI. They did DEI hiring.
Yikes.
You probably, for something like that, you kind of want the best of the best.
Yeah, if you're going to spend that much money, which turns out, well, we'll talk about it later, I'm sure, but the money that they're saying they're spending.
The word is that apparently they were just driving up. They had like Obama library vans pulling up in front of Home Depot and just asking if anybody wanted a job. I mean, that's the gist of it. So we've got more to share with you about. There's a big controversy. Black folks are enraged over this thing. We're going to tell you why. Do you have a good name for the Obama presidential Death Star? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Most people don't realize how much of their personal information is bought and sold daily. Data brokers make billions pulling your details from public records, then selling it without your consent, landing it with scammers and stalkers. It's why you get endless robocalls and hyper-targeted ads. That's where Aura comes in. Aura actively removes your data from broker sites and keeps it off, instantly alerting you if your information appears in a breach or on the dark web. Aura goes beyond data protection. With one app, you get a VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam protection, and up to $5 million in identity theft insurance, all backed by 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Competitors charge the same price for just one of these services. Aura gives you all of it together. Start your free trial at aura.com/safe. Protect yourself now at aura.com/safe. That's aura.com/safe.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And again, we are searching for your names, and you got to be creative. What are we going to call the Barack Hussein Obama Presidential Death Star? We need to know your suggestions. 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. Well, certainly a disturbing story in the world of Major League Baseball that continues to grow and grow and grow, and it all started right here on this radio program. Major League Baseball warning at least three Christian players of the San Francisco Giants to not write Bible verses on their gay pride ball caps. Well, that has caused a lot of controversy around the nation. I know Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri has filed an official letter with the baseball commissioner demanding answers to a lot of questions. Also taking action, our good friend, the Attorney General of the great state of Missouri, Catherine Hanaway. Attorney General, good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, Todd, and thank you for bringing the nation's attention to this issue. It's very much appreciated, and it's very sad what Major League Baseball is doing to America's game.
It's just awful, and we're always happy to stir the pot when it needs stirring. And in this particular case, it's just, I don't know, for me, it's just so unacceptable. And this has nothing to do with gay rights or whether you're gay, straight, lesbian. That has nothing to do with it. For me, this is all about freedom of conscience and also freedom of religion.
Absolutely. Freedom of religion, freedom of expression. The Major League Baseball team, the San Francisco Giants, is compelling speech by making their players wear these gay pride hats. And when a few courageous individuals who have a different set of beliefs decided to express themselves, Major League Baseball turns around and wants to shut them down. And so not let them exercise their religion and not let them exercise their free speech rights. It's so wrong. It's not the right place for Major League Baseball to be at a time when baseball is struggling to keep up with other major sports. They're just turning fans off right and left, not to mention being offensive to the U.S. Constitution.
It's a fine point. I know that you're jumping into the fray as well. Of course, Senator Hawley sending the letter to the baseball commissioner. What needs to happen here?
Well, I think Major League Baseball has got to pledge that they will never again engage in this kind of conduct. Look, I don't mind if others want to express themselves, but these players should have the ability to express themselves either by choosing not to wear the gay pride hat or to put the Bible verse on their hat. And aren't I lucky to be the Attorney General of Missouri and succeed three great guys who've had that job, Josh Hawley, Eric Schmidt, and Andrew Bailey. And we've had a consistent line of standing up for the Constitution.
I just love that. And you're right. I don't know what you guys have in the water there in Missouri, but you're putting out some really good attorney generals. And we appreciate that. And I know, as, again, this goes back to a point. We had a guy on who actually wrote the original story for OutSports. He was on my show yesterday. And I just asked the guy a question, and he could not answer this question. What does any of this have to do with baseball? You know what? Why can't we just go to a baseball game and enjoy a baseball game? And if a player doesn't want to participate, maybe for whatever reason, why should that player be forced to participate? I mean, you could turn this around and say, okay, well, what would happen if a gay player was forced to participate in a Christian event, for example?
That's 100% right. Imagine if the roles were reversed and Major League Baseball told every player that they needed to wear a cross on their hat, and a handful said that they weren't going to do it or they were going to express their opinion. You know, the liberals, the atheists, the people who don't believe in Christ would come forward with such venom. I'm so pleased that for once we're standing up for the ability of Christians to express themselves. And Todd, you do it every day, and thank goodness for you.
Catherine Hanaway, the Attorney General of the great state of Missouri. And by the way, we have a connection, I don't know, with the St. Louis Cardinals. And of course, we broadcast our national show from my home town of Memphis, and we're one of the big feeder. We've got the AAA ballpark here for the Cardinals. A lot of Cardinals fans down in the Memphis area.
Go Redbirds.
There you go. Yeah, we love the Redbirds down here and the Cardinals. Attorney General, I want to switch gears here because you have been very involved in another case, and this is an important case. You are suing a baby monitor manufacturer for apparently concealing links to the Chinese military. What in the world is this all about?
Yeah, it's almost unbelievable when you say it, but this company called Lorex, which is a very popular seller of baby monitors, was originally owned by another company called Dowa. And Dowa is a Chinese military company. The United States Department of War designates them as such. When they got designated, they spun out this baby monitor company. But what wasn't disclosed is that they're still producing the components, and they still have a back door where they can read all the data that's being collected, both see video and hear audio from these baby monitors. And Dowa is, you know, the Chinese Communist Party's military wing. And it's really scary that people are putting these monitors in, you know, their most cherished spaces with their newborn babies, and that the Chinese are able to listen in. So these cameras are sold at major retailers, you know, Office Max, you know, Best Buy, Amazon. They're very popular. I'd encourage people to go to our website and look at the pictures. They'll recognize this baby monitor. And we're trying to recover money and shut them down, but your listeners can immediately get these things out of their home.
I think the thing that caught my attention right away in the press release, The video cameras, families were told the video cameras are, quote, private by design, but yeah, in theory, they were literally able to watch your babies breathe, you say capture our children's voices, and record families' most intimate moments. That's really Orwellian.
It is, and it's so scary because over and over again, in their disclaimers, they claim that they are keeping your information private, but they tried to hedge just a little bit to protect themselves from the United States government by saying if you have any private information regarding the United States government, it's not secure for those purposes. So these guys know what they're doing. They know they're feeding information back to the Chinese government, and it's so sad.
It's just unacceptable, and we're so glad that you're on top of this and, again, suing to make this right. Attorney General, we always love having you on, and we have a lot of listeners across the great state, and we appreciate the great work you're doing standing up for freedom and liberty.
Thank you so much, Todd. Great to be able to do it right next to you. You've led us all, and really appreciate it.
All right. Missouri Attorney General, everybody, Catherine Hanaway on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, and we certainly appreciate her taking that tough stand on Major League Baseball, as well as suing this baby monitor. Dylan, can you imagine? I mean, you know, you've got all this electronic stuff in your homes now. You don't even know your own TV. There have been reports your own TV could actually be watching you.
You know, I actually get scared of that because when my TV turns off, there's like a big, like, flash of white light. I'm like, did it just take a picture? Like, I smiled.
Yeah.
You know, just it's in been, case.
I don't know about you. I put a little, a post-it note over the camera monitors.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. On the laptops, that's like a default now if you get a new laptop.
Got to.
Yeah, I don't trust it.
Yeah, not one bit. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Can we go back to the Obama presidential Death Star for just a moment? And again, we're taking your call, so if you've got a clever name for the Death Star, we would we'd love to hear it. Getting nervous again.
Big Mike, I am your father.
Well, that was inappropriate. So anyway, while all the festivities are happening, there are a lot of really upset folks in and around Chicago. It turns out that the Obama Foundation they've stiffed black contractors. You cannot make this up. So there's an African-American Contractors Association, and part of the whole spiel here is that Obama only wanted to use minority contractors to build the building. And that's fine. Whatever, that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. But now the contractors are just enraged. And they're saying the reason why is that nobody has paid them. And they are due millions and millions of dollars. Some of these companies are literally on the verge of bankruptcy because Obama has not paid them any money. Meanwhile, Michelle Obama was being interviewed by Good Morning America. And here's what she had to say. Take a listen to Cut 37.
One word to describe your next chapter. One word.
Fun.
Me.
Oh, jeez.
That's what you call drop the mic.
You know what? You seem to be grading her higher on her answer.
You see, this woman, Michelle Obama, is one of the most self-centered, selfish first ladies in all of American history. That's who the woman is. It's all about her. So ungrateful. And she has a chip on her shoulder for no reason whatsoever. The woman has more money than the most American citizens. She's got everything that she ever needed and ever needs. And it's just not good enough. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. First to Jerry in Milwaukee, wants to weigh in on the baseball players. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Todd, yeah, to weigh in the baseball players. They had the option not to wear the pride flag, the pride hat. One example was Sam Hedges, who's a reliever for the San Francisco Giants. He didn't wear the pride hat. So, you know, they had the option. If they're going to wear the hat, they shouldn't put Bible verses on it. But, I mean, if they thought the hat was wrong or against their religion or whatever, then simply don't wear the hat. To me, it's a very simple solution.
But why not? I mean, if you and hear me on this, Jerry, if you go into the locker room and there's like, you know, the gay pride uniform sitting there, it seems to me if you're a baseball player, your first, your default thinking there is, I've got to wear this.
No, they didn't. Not all of them wore
No. Well, right, but what I'm saying is, but they may not have said, okay, you're forced to wear this, but you're sort of forced to wear this.
Well, that is strange because at least one of them didn't wear it and he's still, you know, on the team. So, I mean, look, it's also, I mean, it's a part of the baseball MLB rules. I mean, you agree to this, you're part of the team, this is the team's thing, and, you know, you have the right to your beliefs, but they didn't have to wear it, you know? That's the thing.
But they're saying it's hate. I'm wondering, why is it hate? I mean, when I went to go look at that Bible verse, it talks about the origin of the rainbow, which, by the way, Jerry, if you go back and read the history of the guy who created the whole rainbow theme, he drew inspiration, he said, from ancient times, which many people, and he's inferring that he got it from the Bible. So, again, I just don't understand why anybody would think that Bible verse would be offensive.
Well, I don't think it's specifically offensive to gay people.
Jerry, Out Sports, which started on, they called it a homophobic Bible verse.
Okay, there are homophobic Bible verses in the Bible. There are homophobic. There's one talked about killing of gay people.
What is homophobic about the story of God sending the rainbow, promising not to destroy the earth by the flood?
Okay, let's be clear. Rainbows weren't created by a god after Noah's flood. Rainbows are because light is diffused. It takes the colors of the spectrum. It's a scientific thing.
Why do I feel you're in the dark on this, Jerry?
No, but that story is a story of genocide. I know people are going to hate to hear this, but it's a story of genocide. This God killed almost the whole world's population, but promised he won't kill them in the same certain way with a flood. That's horrific. That's to me, that's vile. You know, and this God knew exactly what's going to happen. It's a horrific story, but that story isn't specifically homophobic.
Right. So what's the problem here? You know, Jerry, I hear what you're saying, but the fact of the matter is that Major League Baseball opened up this box when they made the players wear the Black Lives Matter jerseys and the patches and the cleats and the social justice stuff. So MLB can't have it both ways. You just can't. And we all know that those players inferred they had to wear those ball caps. And I've got no problem with the fact they wrote the Bible verse on there. Jerry, got to leave it there. Thank you for calling in. I think Dylan, the bigger issue here, the gay pride ball cap, not necessarily the biggest problem. I think it may have been the gay pride jock strap. All right, let's go to Gainesville, Georgia, home to WDUN. Charles, what's on your mind today?
Hey, I thought I'd take a little twist on this Obama library, and I decided to ask ChatGPT to look at the picture and give me a couple of names for it. And use satire, and it came up with some good ones, like let's see, the Citadel of Committees, the Emperor's Jenga Block.
The Emperor's what block?
Jenga Block. Game Jenga.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
Stack the wood.
Okay, yeah. All right, that's got
and some then the Ministry of Impressive Shadows. And then a good one is the Cathedral of Bureaucracy.
Oh, well, there you go. Charles, well done. You used ChatGPT for that, did you?
Yeah. And what ChatGPT came back and said their favorite one was the giant iPhone charger brick.
Oh, it does kind of look like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, Charles, well done. Well done. You delivered on the assignment. Thanks for calling in today. And again, we are looking for names for the new Barack Hussein Obama Presidential Death Star. So if you've got some suggestions, give us a call. By the way, coming up, Coming up, we have a crazy story involving Pride Pride Month at another ballpark. You're not going to believe this. This is just going to blow your mind. Also, how can you tell if your contractor is gay? That is a big controversy in California. So we're going to try to help folks figure out if you can tell if somebody is gay or not. We've been working very hard on a plan. All right, gotta leave it there, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926, and we're going to be taking your calls today. By the way, more on these African-American contractors. I don't want to dwell too much on this, but subcontractors now say they are owed millions of dollars and face financial ruin after helping build the Obama Presidential Center. The 19.3-acre campus on Chicago's South Side, built primarily, and by the way, the Obamas wanted black contractors. They wanted black workers to build this Death Star. One guy who owns, this is not part of the African-American group, but one guy, Mike Owen, is with Adamson Plumbing. He says that they're owed nearly $4 million, and they've been begging to be paid for years. Mr. Owen says that's a hole no subcontractor, no small business can survive. Subcontractors interviewed by Fox News describe what they characterized as a chaotic work environment marked by repeated design changes, rework, scheduling disruptions, extensive oversight, and years-long compensation disputes that still remain unresolved. It's just shocking here. Oh, here we go. This is the good part of the Fox story. The African American Contractors Association president, a guy by the name of Omar Sharif, he says they've never seen anything like this. They've never had these kinds of problems. And advocates for black subcontractor firms said those companies have now been muzzled because they have a non-disclosure agreement. So they're not even able to go out there and say they have not been paid. Mr. Sharif says they're scared to death about talking about it. He says, I've never seen this happen since he's been in business. He says, you're not paying our damn contractors. Sharif said several black subcontractor owners began privately approaching him about 6 months ago, claiming significant losses tied directly to Obama. The concerns are notable, he said, because the project was publicly promoted as an opportunity for minority-owned businesses and local workers. Mr. Sharif says the promise was that this project was going to uplift minority contractors and uplift the community. What sense is celebrating Juneteenth if our black contractors are not getting their money? Some of these people put up their mortgages. They're going to lose their bonding. They're going to lose their relationship with their suppliers as well as their bankers. It's a great point. I hate it for these folks, but that's who the Obamas are, ladies and gentlemen. That's who they are. It's all about them. They don't care about anybody else. 901-260-5926, our number. Let's go to the phones. Stephen in Morehead City, North Carolina. All right, Stephen, I understand you've got a name for the Obama building.
I do, and with all apologies to the International House of Pancakes, I love them. I love International House of Pancakes. I think we need to have a community pancake breakfast, and we can pay these people, and then we'll unveil the House of Hussein.
The International House of Hussein.
Yeah. I think that, and we can get everybody paid. You know,
I love this
pancake.
Yeah, kind of, you know, like the Lions Club, you know, they do the big pancake breakfast. So you just have a big national pancake breakfast and pay the black subcontractors.
Exactly.
Wow. The International House of Hussein.
Exactly. And by the way, the Lions Club, outstanding people. I am blind, and they have provided me with a service dog all the time. So, wonderful organization, the Lions Club.
They're wonderful, wonderful folks, the Lions Club. They do great, great work. And, Stephen, I'm so glad, and I know they appreciate the shout-out. Thank you for calling in. The International House of Hussein, I love that. Goes right to the top of our list. I love that. By the way, you've got to have an ID. Did you know that? You've got to have an ID. If you want to go to the visit the center, you've got to show a proper form, some sort of a government, an official government ID. Now, if you want to go vote in Chicago, you don't need an ID. But if you want to go inside the Obama Presidential Center, you've got to have an ID. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. The more you know. 901-260-5926 is our number. Again, that's 901-260-5926. All right, where is that story? Here we go. This is from York, Pennsylvania. York, PA. A minor league baseball team there in Pennsylvania forfeiting its Pride Night game. That's because the players refused to wear the rainbow-colored jerseys. In a statement, the York Revolution said it was with great disappointment that the team did not play the game and chose to forfeit. The team's Pride Night events featured many activities, including batting practice. Was that actually batting practice that we know of? Was that literally batting practice, or is that a euphemism for something? So batting practice, park tours, and music. The team going on to say the decision was not reached lightly. Unfortunately, several of our players have refused to wear the scheduled Pride Night jersey, and the club decided that hosting the event is more important than forcing players to wear jerseys they are not comfortable with and playing the game. The game was scheduled for Thursday night against Southern Maryland. It was supposed to be the team's 11th annual Pride Night. To be clear, this action by the players is completely inconsistent with our vision. So the ball club's upset about this, is completely inconsistent with our vision as the most welcoming place in York. As a small token of our regret for the last-minute change of plans and support for our LGBTQIA+ representing partners, we are making a $10,000 donation to the Rainbow Rose Center to support and further their work. The team said that tickets will be exchanged for any other home game. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about baseball. It's not about baseball. It's about cramming an agenda down the throats of baseball players and also, ladies and gentlemen, fans. I mean, it really is that simple, and it's very sad. This story from, believe it or not, Germantown, Tennessee. This is where I live. I am shocked by this story. You know, they do do an event every year in Germantown where they invite the kids to set up lemonade stands around. It's really a neat thing, and the kids sell lemonade, and it goes to charities, and the kids win prizes, and the lemonade is very good. Dylan, have you ever been to the lemonade thing in Germantown?
I haven't been to that one, but if I saw it, I would stop. I love lemonade.
You know, the kids, you know, they're little entrepreneurs. They call it Lemonade Stand Day. And the kids give back to the community. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing that they do in Germantown, Tennessee. And so I think they had, more than 40 young kids. They're entrepreneurs. And they raise money for local charities. And then they learn the value of community service. And it is such a noble thing. And I love that the town leaders are big, big fans of this. I think some of the money goes to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, the animal shelter. You know, things like that. So anyway, there is a bit of controversy this year. It turns out that somebody called the cops. Somebody called the cops on these ladies, these girls, who had a lemonade stand. This is from Fox 13. Summertime lemonade stands are a rite of passage for children. But in one Mid-South neighborhood, a girl's entrepreneurship earned a visit from the police. Somebody actually, one of the neighbors called the cops, they think, on these two sisters because they alleged they were breaking the law. So they actually sent police out. And the police, you know, looked at all the setup and everything and said everything looks fine here. The two sisters raising money for brain cancer research. Now, what's interesting about this, one of the sisters is actually a grown woman who owns like a cookie shop or something. But anyway, and her younger sister is very, very young. So there's a lot of age discrepancy. Their mother died of brain cancer. And so they're raising money for brain cancer. Jeez. So the elder sister said, this is definitely a first world problem. Could you believe that? I do believe that. In our town, you know, the people are a little, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, Dylan?
Uppity.
I was thinking butt hurt, but yes, uppity is good. They're uppity. Yeah, it's just somebody had a birthday party once for some, I'm going to forget all the details, but I guess think I was turning 50 or something. It was some big milestone birthday. And so they thought it'd be fun to put up one of the big inflatable bouncy things in the front yard.
No.
No, no, people, they got in trouble.
God forbid we have fun outside in Germantown, Tennessee.
These, and I don't know if you guys in your communities, if you have these message boards, they're awful. It's like, I don't know, junior high school. And people would post something. I can't believe those white trash people putting a bouncy house in their front yard. And did you see their petunias? They were drooping. Drooping petunias. That's against the law.
It's like we have these high standards for what our town should look like, but it's almost too far now to where you're taking away all the fun.
Well, fortunately, the police in Germantown are very good folks, and they said, look, there are no violations here. There's nothing here, so they didn't, you know, fine them or anything. But it's the idea that somebody's going to call the cops. You know what the day is. It's lemonade stand day, for crying out loud. So you know what's going on. So anyway, I wanted to read this. There is a somebody posted this on socials. They follow me, and I don't know who they are, but they used to live in Memphis. And I wanted to read this to you because it really makes a lot of sense. But also, it goes to the heart of why people are moving to places like Germantown, like the suburbs, where you know, there is a concern about, you know, how things are done. And this is what the person said, why I moved out of Memphis. This is going viral on social media. The reason I moved out of Memphis is simple. It is a generational issue. Let me explain it this way. If one loud person walks into a quiet library, they can destroy the entire atmosphere. But if one quiet person walks into a loud party, nobody even notices. That is how communities work. A peaceful community can be disrupted by just a few people who refuse to respect order, rules, property, safety, or basic decency. The real issue is not just noise, it's culture, it's behavior, leadership, and standards. There are communities built on respect, law, peace, honesty, and accountability. Then there are communities where rudeness, crime, disorder, excuses, and bad leadership are allowed to become normal. The good communities will always be vulnerable when they tolerate the behavior that destroyed the bad ones. That is why standards matter. That is why rules matter. That is why leadership matters. One of the things I always respected about Germantown is that they protected the character of their community. They did not just open the door to anything and everything. They had standards. They made quality or decisions based on quality of life. Outside of Germantown, Memphis has become disgusting in too many areas. Crime, poor leadership, failing infrastructure, racial division inside city government, and a lack of real accountability have all pushed good people and good businesses away. So I moved to my paradise to keep my family safe. I moved to a community with rules. No HUD apartments near us or inside our school zone. No Walmart, no bus routes or bus stops in our small community, clean streets, peaceful neighborhoods, standards that are actually enforced. Germantown might want to pay attention to that. And to the point is, don't lower your standards. And here's the part that makes it even better. I will be paying less in taxes than I was paying in Memphis. And we have a Publix. No more Kroger. My advice to anyone thinking about moving, hire a good broker before you make the move. Tell them exactly what kind of community, tax structure, safety level, zoning, and lifestyle you are looking for, because where you live matters. It's a great point. I think they've completely moved out of Tennessee to some beach area. So, and that is sad. That is heartbreaking for me. It really is, because I love my city, I love my community, and I don't want anybody to leave. But I get it. But this is why you have to have those standards. But really, you're calling the cops on a kid's lemonade stand? Come on, get a life. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
We'd also like to take a moment to recognize the original inhabitants of the land upon which we are gathered today. We honor the Anishinaabe, the Council of Three Fires, the Ojibwe, the Odawa, and the Potawatomi Nations.
All right. So that's a little bit of audio there from the Obama Death Star dedication ceremony. They started out with a stolen land acknowledgement.
That's my favorite part of any brand new opening of land.
And we're going to thank the Onomatopoeia tribe, the Obama Wamajamas, the potted meatheads. What else was there? There were a lot of
Wadatamis.
So here's my question. I think this makes it worse, right? So it's bad enough. I mean, there's some people out there, and you have no idea if you built your house on tribal land that once belonged to the Onomatopoeia, Indian people. So that's one thing. But to go out there and acknowledge that you knowingly are building this monstrosity on stolen land, that's sort of like, wouldn't that be like an in-your-face kind of a thing?
It has to be, right? At that point, just give it back to them. It's not yours.
Absolutely. I wonder if they're going to get free admission.
You know,
you got to show ID. You got to show ID.
The Council of the Three Fires better get admission to this thing.
That's it. Or maybe if they don't get free admission, you can barter, you can trade like beads or something for. That's how we got Manhattan. That turned out to be a bad deal for us. Let's go to the phones. 901-260-5926. Steve in Little Rock, Arkansas. Steve, what's going on?
Todd, I call into your show about a lot of stuff that I don't know anything about. I admit that.
I picked up on that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Steve.
I do know something about construction businesses and construction, and I have been involved in managing some pretty good-sized construction projects. This thing with this Obama, him owing all these contractors this money, there's something smells fishy about this here to me. There's nothing better documented than a construction project of that size. And I'm talking about agreements on how the money is going to be paid, how much money is going to be paid, contracts, building inspections, records of materials used. I mean, everything is very, very provable in a construction project from the contractor standpoint.
I see. So real quick here, because we got to go to break. You're telling me you're not buying this $1 billion price tag.
Well, I'm not buying these contractors have to go to the news media to get their money. Why aren't they finding out from the news media about they've filed a lien against the building and a breach of contract?
Great point. All right, got to run, Steve. Great point, though. All right, welcome back, everybody. So California has a gay certification program for one of the utility companies out there. Public utilities in California are now seeking out gay contractors. It doesn't matter if they can keep the lights on or not. All it matters is what they do and where they put their private parts in bed. The California Democrats embracing, this is from the New York Post. The California Democrats have embraced a new form of favoritism, contracts for businesses that are state certified and owned by members of the Alphabet activist community. The scheme is operated through the California Public Utilities Commission. Now, here's where it gets interesting. You've got to prove, as part of the application process, you have to prove that you're actually a gay person. And Dylan, I think maybe we may need to open this up to our great listening audience. Perhaps they could provide some ideas on how you can prove that you are a gay person.
Yeah, we should do that.
For example, I'm just right out of the gate here. If you can quote all of the lyrics to say Frozen, I think you may be gay.
Okay,
I think that might be so you walk up there and you're you know, it's like, all right, next, please. Name?
Bruce.
Bruce. Yes, what can I'm
gay.
Okay, Bruce, you've got to prove you're gay.
I can quote the lyrics to Frozen. Is that the one where it's Let It Go?
Yeah, it's Let It Go.
I can't remember. Let it go. Let it. Okay, you're in. You're good. Yes, hands. All right, yeah, you're good. We'll give you a double portion.
I think the real question is this a test where you can lie, or do you have to physically prove yourself?
You see, this is the problem. Like, you know, the whole reparation, you remember, I got into a whole heap of trouble because of that. You know, I wanted my reparations check from San Francisco.
Yeah, I remember.
And I went through the name change, LeBron Starnes, and I even changed the pronunciation of my last name just to see if I could get, a double portion. It was Starnes.
Yeah.
LeBron Starnes.
And I remember you put out that highlight video of you shooting those basketballs.
Missed all the time, though. That was the problem. I think that was the giveaway.
That's what it was.
Because I bronze up pretty good in the summertime. You know, I do get pretty bronze. Yeah. I haven't been out in the sun as much, you know. Still kind of in the recuperation process.
Yeah. It's also hot.
Yeah, that too. And I'm afraid of the tanning. I don't want to get the skin cancer from this tanning salon. So I just didn't get dark enough to get the reparations money.
You missed it this year.
Just a smidge. I was a shade off. So now we've got to figure this out. What are some ways that – so, and you know what? This may be a good – I mean, can you fake it, right? I know they say you're born that way, but what if you're trans gay? What if you're straight but you want to identify as gay just to get the check, just to get the contract? Have you ever vacated? You know, a postcard from Fire Island in New York.
Maybe we should make the test. I mean, we should be doing this right now.
Show up wearing, I don't know, a thong? Is that?
That's a good start, probably.
You can show up and say, and some people, you know, they may, I mean, it's a business thing, so you don't want to wear like the leather chaps and the buttons.
Yeah, you got to keep it professional.
Somewhat.
So
you go, and they say, what is your qualification? I wear buttless leather chaps. Well, sir, you're going to have to prove that. I have chafing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Also, they're saying, and I actually did a ChatGPT on this. What are some stereotypical campy, you know, things that you could do? Because, I think everybody's wanting a job, right? You want to get out there. You want those government contracts. That's good money.
It's tough out there.
Yeah, unless you're working for Obama, and well, then you're screwed.
Yes.
But it's a tough job market. According to ChatGPT, if you regularly consume cocktails with names like the Drama Queen or Aunt Linda's Revenge, you may be gay. I have no idea what that means.
Okay, that's provable, though, because you can have the receipt.
Oh, here we go. It's also what you wear. If you, according to ChatGPT, if you wear perfectly fitted jeans, Chelsea boots, linen shirts, designer sunglasses indoors, and tank tops at the gym, you may be gay.
Okay.
Also, if you... if it took you more than 45 minutes to put on a casual outfit,
if you wear skincare product. Oh, but wait a second. I do it for TV. So there's a legitimate reason.
Does the lip balm count there? Is that a skincare product?
The lip balm. Yeah.
Because I love that stuff. I mean, I've almost used all of it, I'll be honest.
No, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. You got to love the lip balm. I don't think that's included here.
Okay, good, good.
If you've ever hosted a brunch, quote from Broadway musicals, judge interior lighting, or say, we need to talk about this rug, you could be gay. Oh, can I tell you about that? Did I ever tell you about my rug problem at home? So I bought this beautiful rug. I needed a rug because, the floors are wooden floors.
Senior rug. Dust.
It's a great rug. Until you look closely. And someone noticed this. I think it was maybe Ben Dieter. We're having a big shindig. And Dieter said, Todd, do you realize you've got a Muslim prayer rug in your living room? And I'm like, pardon me? And it turns out that the rug, the giant rug that I got from Macy's, had Islamic writing all over the rug. I didn't even see it.
I missed that part, too.
It's the craziest thing, which explains why I was having my Bible studies, and I always wanted to do my prayer time towards the east. I didn't know what that was all about.
Everything makes sense now.
It makes perfect sense. Always felt guilty eating pork. I don't know where that – what's going on? I thought I was going through like a midlife crisis. It was the rug. Who knew? Continuing, if you have strong opinions about fonts, if you know everybody's zodiac sign, or plan vacations around restaurants, you could be gay.
I think the zodiac sign is a big one.
Really?
For sure. I mean, if you care about if the moon lines up with the tides and all that fun stuff, I mean, that's concerning.
There's a great line. Speaking of, they talk about track lighting. There is a famous line in the 1989 movie Steel Magnolias. Every woman listening to the Todd Stearns radio show right now knows exactly what I'm talking about, where they talk about how gay men always have track lighting. This is back in 1989 they were talking about this. All gay men named Mark, Rick, or Steve have track lighting. And then a little bit later on, someone said, oh, how's your nephew? She goes, oh, Steve is great. He's just installed track lighting. And they're like, oh, okay. Gotcha. We feel bad. Great movie, though. Good chick flick. 901-260-5926. So, again, hopefully some helpful solutions there and recommendations if you're trying to get a government contract in California. Unbelievable. Anybody else miss those days where you just know that somebody or something was built by someone who was actually qualified and capable, or you're going to the doctor, you're going to the hospital, and you don't have to worry about whether or not the doctor or the nurse was like a diversity hire, that the person was actually hired because they could do the job. Those days are long gone. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, this segment of the Todd Stearns Radio Extravaganza, brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. Ladies and gentlemen, 70 million of you are collecting Social Security benefits today, and about 70% of you guys, you're not getting the full benefits you deserve. And trust me, when you're retired, you want everything that you are owed. And there are actually five key strategies that can increase your Social Security benefits by as much as $188 over a lifetime. Now, Social Security expert Michael Allen has a special report, and Newsmax wants to send that to you free of charge. Whether you are getting benefits or you soon will, you got to get the Social Security report. You can get it free by calling 800-999-9690. Again, that number, 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Houston, Texas. Tom is listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Tom. What's on your mind today?
Well, Mr. Todd, good to speak to you. Does the name Walter Parizader ring a bell with you?
No, it does not.
All right. Well, yesterday we lost him. 81 years old. He's a founding member of Chicago. And you play great music on your bumps. Maybe we can put a Chicago tune in for the next week or two. Died of Alzheimer's. But my name for the Obama library, or will they really have books there? I don't know.
It's going to be all digital. So, yeah, they're calling it a center and not necessarily a library.
Okay, well, my name would be the biggest black hole. And in parentheses, you got a problem with that?
No, I don't have a problem with that. The black hole.
There you go.
Tom, thank you. Thank you for that. And certainly our condolences to the fans of Chicago. Wow. Dylan, that just cut right to the chase.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to get some Chicago tunes.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's we've got to do that. So I had no idea he died. He was 81 years old. No idea that he passed away. 901-260-5926. So J.D. Vance is behind the podium at the White House press briefing room and going after Majority Leader John Thune over the Save America Act. Take a listen to Cut 41, please.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Leader Thune said it's unrealistic to get the Save America Act passed by attaching it to FISA, which the president's looking for. Do you believe this is possible?
Well, why don't we try? Why don't we try and at least force people to vote against it? One of the things that, you know, sometimes frustrates me about the legislative process is that people will go into it saying, this isn't possible, therefore we're not even going to try. Well, let's actually see. Let's try it. And if it's not possible, then let the people put their name on it. This is also good for the American people. How many American senators know that the American people love the Save America Act because they believe in voter ID? But how many of those same senators don't want to vote for it because they know that the radical elements within their own party would punish them for it? Let people go on the record and actually answer to the American people, which is why I think we should do exactly as the president said.
Yeah, well, there you go. And again, John Thune says they simply do not have the votes and they will not move forward. I'm with the vice president on this. Make people go on the record. We need to know who are the Republicans who will oppose the Save America Act. We need to know who those individuals are. I mean, it's a very simple thing here. But there is some reporting out there that a few days ago, Senator Mike Lee came under fierce attack during a Senate Republican luncheon because of his outspokenness on this particular issue. And Senator Lee was castigated by John Cornyn, among others. I believe Cassidy out of Louisiana was also in on that. And Cornyn told Mike Lee to lay off of John Thune. This is coming from Politico. Jordan Carney is the writer. She said, Senator John Cornyn is not a card-carrying member of the Senate's GOP's growing caucus, the YOLO caucus. But with less than 7 months left in office, he appears to be feeling newly free to speak his mind. The latest clapback came Thursday when Cornyn called a conservative influencer a grifter. That would be Scott Pressler, the guy with the super long hair, and then told Senator Mike Lee on social media to stop blaming fellow Republicans, including John Thune, for the fact that the GOP election bill does not have support to pass inside the party. Cornyn said, you don't have the votes for the Save America Act. Leader Thune can't change that. It is math. He was directing his comments at Lee, who had just penned a post telling Thune, let's do this. Cornyn said, try focusing on Democrats instead of Republicans. Republican on Republican attacks are hurting our chances to win the majority in November, says the guy who's been out there, John Cornyn, attacking Donald Trump. Unbelievable, these people. These rhinos have no self-awareness. Cornyn is known for posting himself on his social media accounts in a chamber where many Senate accounts are run solely by staff.
And he's been making it clear all week he will push back on Trump. So that's the thing. He's on one end, he's saying, well, we just have to get along, y'all. We got to do it. We got to get along. And then he turns around and says, Donald Trump's the devil. He's devil man. You cannot have it both ways. Unbelievable. So Cornyn is out there and Cassidy as well, and they're giving any Republican who supports the Save America Act the what for. At this stage of the game, folks, we need more people like Mike Lee to stand up and speak out, but they don't want to lose their positions. They don't want to lose their access to power, and that's one of the reasons why these Republicans are simply not speaking out, and that is a huge problem. 901-260-5926, the telephone number today, that's 901-260-5926. Getting ready next Sunday, I'm going to be speaking at the First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and we're going to be doing a lot of events coming up in July, August, September, and October. And I know if you are interested in having us come to your town, if you're a radio station owner, give us a call, and we will certainly do our best to make those arrangements. But we're going to be doing a pretty massive book tour across the country later this fall, and all of that surrounds my brand-new book called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And I was talking to the publisher last night. We are lining up a pretty massive marketing campaign, promotional campaign. We're going to be doing a lot of podcasts, a lot of interviews on TV, many of the conservative news channels. So we'll be doing that. No, not Fox News. Fox News does not want me back on. I'm a little too conservative for Fox News, and that's okay. That's okay. There's a place for everybody. So anyway, God bless President Trump. He wrote some very kind words for the book, and I want to share these with you. This is coming from the president. Quote, Todd Starnes is a fierce defender of freedom and a great patriot. He has seen and understands what is happening to our country like few others. So I've been able to interview the president, I think, 9 or 10 times over the past couple of years, and a lot of those interviews are in this book. You're going to love it. And it's a lot of inside stories. What was it like, you know, at Mar-a-Lago, some of those meetings. I write all about that in the book. And I want you to pre-order. We're really encouraging people to pre-order because we need to make sure we do not run out of books on launch day. That would not be good. So as many of you as can, if you will pre-order, that will give us a pretty good indication. And thousands of you have already done that. We need even more. So go to Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble. Get yourself a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 of The Big Show coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain, more than 100 radio stations now broadcasting this program, and we are so honored, and we are proudly broadcasting on stolen land. Dylan, we built our palatial studios on the tribe of the Obama Womble Weeble Wobble people. Is that it?
That's pretty close, yeah.
All right, the Onomatopoeia people.
Yeah.
What was that? They just launched they've just launched the Obama Presidential Center, and they started with a big announcement.
We'd also like to take a moment to recognize the original inhabitants of the land upon which we are gathered today. We honor the Anishinaabe, the Council of Three Fires, the Ojibwe, the Odawa, and the Potawatomi nations.
And the Onomatopoeias. You got to always remember those folks. Dylan, some very disturbing news that you just shared with me. We've got all these international people wandering around. Before we do that, we've got a very special guest, and we're going to have to get him to weigh in on this. He is our good friend. He has been on the program before. Tim Pugh is the co-owner of Pugh's Flowers, right here in Memphis, Tennessee, celebrating their 50th anniversary. Tim, first of all, great to see you. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well, thank you.
And you have no idea that I just did this, right? I'm throwing a curveball here.
Correct.
All right, so Tim is clearly nervous, and that's perfectly okay. But, Tim, you're going to be shocked and horrified by this story. First of all, Tim, have you noticed, are you a big World Cup guy?
Yes.
So you're soccer and all that stuff?
Yes.
All right, so what's your take, first of all of these international folks coming over and just falling in love with America?
I think it's fantastic. You should have known it would happen. I've heard several of them say the media in Europe or whatever talks so bad about it, I can't believe it's so fantastic here.
So apparently the English, one of the big stories out of Boston, which I find humorous here, is that the English and the Scottish have apparently, they've almost run out of beer in Boston. So I don't know how they did it, but there's a lot of drinking going
That's
on.
True.
And nobody gets drunk. You know, I guess, they start serving the kids as children or whatever. The other one I was really impressed with, the Japanese. Did you see they were literally helping to clean up a stadium after one of the matches?
I saw that. Each one of them brought a bag in to clean up afterwards.
That's pretty impressive. We like that. We like that. And then the German guy, Freddie the German.
I didn't see him.
So he's been doing a TikTok or a X, and he's been writing on Twitter and following his adventures. He's from Germany. His name is Freddie. And he's been to what, the Buc-ee's? What was it, Dylan? He's been to Buc-ee's.
Buc-ee's. He went to Taco Bell, Raising Cane's, Waffle House, all these southern treats that we have.
They're loving it.
And he was enjoying the big gulp.
They loved it. Yeah, and the whole Buc-ee's thing, do we have the video from the French guy? So we're going to play this for you. A French guy showed up at Buc-ee's for the very first time, and he really didn't know what to think. Take a listen.
I saw the end of the world in the U.S., and it's called Buc-ee's. They say it's a gas station, but that's a lie. A gas station has a sad sandwich and a coffee machine that never works. This place has 120 pumps. 120. Why? Are you refueling the U.S. Air Force? Are you preparing for an alien invasion? That's terrifying. And the mascot is a beaver in a baseball cap. I saw grown men taking photos with a statue of a rodent. In France, we have revolutions. In the U.S., you bow down to a squirrel on steroids. And inside, the A man with a knife screaming, fresh brisket on the board. Sir, calm down. I just want a sparkling water. Don't kill me. But I have a problem. I wanted to hate it. I wanted to be the superior Frenchman snob. But then I ate the beaver nuggets. I don't know what is in them. I think it's sugar, butter, and pure methamphetamine. I ate one, then I had the whole bag in the parking lot like a wild animal. And the toilets, I have to admit it, but they are nicer than my apartment. You could eat the brisket off the floor in the bathroom. It's cleaner than the hospital. So I have failed. I came to judge and I stayed for the snacks. I don't have the hat, but in my heart, I am wearing the hat. God bless the beaver.
God bless the beaver.
That's hilarious. Oh my
God. You see, those are the kinds of immigrants we want coming to America, right?
Absolutely.
Give that guy citizenship, dual citizenship, Freddie from Germany or whoever that. What is it? Do we know the guy's name? Pepe Le Pew?
This is the Frenchman.
I say that because, again, the rodent, of course, the mascot for you guys is a skunk.
Correct.
Pews.
Pews, yeah.
Does the mascot actually have a name?
Pewy.
Pewy. I like that. All right, that's good. Well, anyway, before we get to talking about this huge thing that you guys are doing, Dylan, the story that you brought me, the TSA, Transportation Security Administration, is now warning World Cup tourists, apparently a big problem. They are purchasing copious bottles of ranch Hidden Valley salad dressing, and they're trying to carry it in their, I guess, their carry-on luggage. And they say there is a limit. So they say we appreciate the fact that you love ranch salad dressing, but you need to put it in your checked luggage. It makes a lot of sense. According to the TSA, they've also discovered pizza, chicken wings, quesadillas. How do you do that? As well as onion rings that people are trying to get through TSA security. So just a fair warning to any international folks that might be listening. Let's talk about pews. And, Tim, the last time we had you on, you were invited by the White House to be a part of that incredible event when President Trump came and spoke to the National Guard here in Memphis. And as a business owner, I thought you did just such a remarkable job kind of explaining the plight of small businesses in a place like Memphis.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was a memorable experience.
What were some of the concerns that you had at the time, and some of the things that you guys had been through as a company?
Well, as a company, we've had vans stolen. People have carjacked somebody. They'd go to the front door with flowers, turn around, the van be gone. Our landscape company, we had to put a fence around it. It's an electric fence to keep equipment from being stolen, lock the equipment up on vehicles, that kind of thing.
And now you've had the National Guard here, the police. How are things going now?
Things are going really good. You can see the crime is down. David Kustoff told me yesterday there were 1,600. There was over 100 state troopers and 1,600 National Guard in Memphis just yesterday.
That's incredible. Were that many?
He looked it up on his phone. He's got some app and told me that.
There are, I think the last numbers I saw, over 10,000 people have been arrested since the National Guard has been in Memphis.
Yes, and you can tell.
You can. Yes, you're absolutely right. You can tell. And we're just so grateful for what the president and the administration have done. So we love businesses and family-owned businesses here on this program. I own the radio station here. We're a family-owned radio station. And that just small business owners have a special place in my heart. But you guys are a pretty massive operation. And you're celebrating, what, 50th anniversary?
50 years, correct.
Wow. Take me back to the beginning. And how did the company start?
Well, my dad was a banker here in Memphis. And his job was HR, and he got tired of firing people and just the problems with HR. And he grew up working in a flower shop in Memphis in high school and college, and taught him everything about it. So finally one day he came home and told my mom, I'm going to buy a flower shop. And that's what he did.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, then he passed away when we were fairly young, and asked our mom if she'd take a note for the business and sell it to us, and she did.
So you guys have been, again, in business 50 years, and one of the wonderful things about Pews, you deliver not just to the Memphis area, but really all across the nation.
Correct, and the world.
And the world.
Yes, we have a good network of florists around the country and the world.
We should send flowers to Freddie when he gets back to Germany. You know, he's in Houston, Dylan, so we'll make a note of that. We'll try to get an address. What is that experience like for you guys? I mean, owning a business, and there are a lot of flower shops, but what makes Pew's Flowers really stand out and different than other shops?
Well, I think we really take it personal. It's a family business. My dad owned it, passed away. It was his passion, and we take that to heart and try to remember that every day when someone spends $100. That's a lot of money. They should get good service. The flower arrangement should get there. We should call them afterwards, let them know that it got there. And I think it's just the extra steps like that.
And folks, if you want a gander at the incredible arrangements they produce, and they are just really breathtaking, I would encourage you to go and visit the Peabody Hotel, because you guys do the flowers at the Peabody Hotel.
We do every four nights at midnight. We go and replace the arrangement on the fountain.
Is that how that's done? I've always wondered how that was done.
Every 4 days at midnight.
Wow. So you go in, and you're talking about the big fountain in the middle of the lobby where the ducks are.
Correct. Yes. Every 4 days. And then once a month, we'll go in and fix it all up every four nights. And then once a month, we replace the whole thing.
So when I first moved back to Memphis from living in New York City, we were right in the throes of COVID. And so I ended up living, I guess, for 3 or 4 months at the Peabody, and there was hardly anybody. I think there was some, you know, first responders, a very small group. But they walked those ducks every single day. And I asked them, I said, why are you guys doing that? Well, they go, we can't get them out of the habit. So every day the ducks walked, and many times I was the only person in the lobby, but they played the march, and the ducks came in, and and those beautiful flowers, though. That's how long does it take to put together, you know, those kinds of things, like, for example, at the Peabody Hotel?
Well, it'll take 2 to 3 people about 3 hours each night right after midnight. Of course, we have to wait till the bar closes and some of the nefarious people leave, and then we get started.
Fair enough. How long does it take to come up with this, and how do you guys come up with these amazing designs?
We've got a really good staff. Actually, my son is one of our really good designers, and we have a team that makes them up, and then they'll take pictures, and we'll send them out for pictures, and we'll check with what kind of flowers are available.
I love the story of Pew's Flowers and the sensitivity and the creativity that you guys take in working with folks. And we've certainly utilized you guys many, many, many times over the years, and just love what you guys do. And, you know, again, folks, even one of the things that we try to do on this program, Tim, is there's almost a subculture of, you know, patriotic businesses that are out there, and they love our country and they love our nation. They love what's happening in our country. And we try our best to support those businesses. And folks, I know many of you need flowers. You want beautiful flowers, and Pews is the way to go. I want you to go check out their website, PUGHS.com, Pews.com, and you'll be able to, people can order and do everything online. Is that right?
Online or call us, either way.
Oh, that's great. All right, give us the phone number here, and if people want to call in.
It's 901-372-4380.
4380. All right, well, we'll share that information again. But again, Pews, PUGHS.com. And you're going to want to be, you're going to want to order flowers for them. Of course, President Trump, a lot of businesses here in this community, but he picked you, Tim Pew. So that had to have been a really special moment.
It was very special. Very, very special.
Did you get a chance to spend some time with him backstage?
Not much. Just after I did my speech and it was over, he came over and shook my hand and said, I'm really proud of you. Thanks for coming doing this for me. And I said, well, my wife would like to meet you. And he said, I got to get to Graceland. And so he went to Graceland.
He sure did. Went to the Jungle Room.
Yes, he did. I saw that.
Yeah, he got to do things in the Jungle Room that the regular civilians are not allowed to do, by the way. So
that's
got to
true.
Sit down in there. But it's really a great – and by the way, if you haven't been to Graceland, you got to go, and you got to go check it out. And then the museums, they've just really done a phenomenal job over there.
Yes, it's really changed a lot.
It really has. It really has. All right, Tim, well, congratulations on the 50th anniversary. That's an exciting thing for you guys.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
All right. There you go, folks. Pews.com, PUGHS.com. And they are a good, faith-friendly family. They're a conservative family, patriotic family. And most importantly, they have some of the most beautiful flower arrangements. So I want you to go and check them out. And then I want you to do a little business with them. Pews Flowers, PUGHS.com. Got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. So a couple of days ago, we had the owner of Carl's Bakery on from Granite Falls, Minnesota, and got a note from him, and he said, would you just please say thank you to all of the people that are listening, because you guys just, you called and loaded those folks up with all sorts of great goodies. You ordered stuff and sent them so many encouraging words, and they were so grateful. By the way, you can read the story over on ToddSterns.com, so please go and check that out. And again, we love the Pews family. They've done so much for the community here and these small businesses, and we're going to try to do more of this kind of stuff because we want to support conservative Christian businesses, and that's what we do here. And we want to connect you with these folks as well, and because we do business with them, and I hope you will as well. Tim was telling me the last time he was on, when President Trump came to town, that you guys were just lighting up the phones ordering flowers. So whether it's, you know, birthdays, gift baskets, plants, they do local, national, and international delivery. And it's a family-owned business, so they take very good care of folks. PUGHS.com, Pews.com. What is it? Pewies. That's the name of the skunk, Pewies. I like that. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here. Hold on. Dylan, I tell you, I've got way too many emails today. That's the problem. All right. This is – sorry, I needed a moment. All right. This story out of – let's see here. Cut number 36, please.
Cops were called over the weekend in this area all about a lemonade stand here in Germantown. The kids running it say they were only open for just over an hour when all of a sudden the police showed up and they weren't here to buy lemonade.
And we had two officers kind of roll up and just go, hey, really hate to be these guys, but, you know, somebody did make a call.
Germantown police say an anonymous caller reported a lemonade stand in a van that was part of the display were blocking the roadway.
Kind of shocked because I was like, well, we're raising money for a good cause. Why would someone call the police on us?
Saturday was Germantown's lemonade stand day. Kids across the city set up their own stands. This year had 40 participants. It's a chance for them to learn business skills and raise money for the local school district and various charities. Chloe Sexton and her little sister Charlotte raised money for brain cancer research. They lost their mom to brain cancer in 2022.
Definitely thought when I saw officers approaching, like, wow, our lemonade stand's so good that police have got to come and try it. The last thing on my mind was that we were bothering anybody, especially with so much room on the road and with having already cleared it with our neighborhood HOA.
Fox 13 reached out to Germantown police. They confirmed the incident happened. They said the officers reported the truck and the stand weren't, quote, obstructing the roadway. Instead of writing a ticket, they enjoyed a cool drink. But the sisters were still perplexed as to why someone would call the cops on a simple lemonade stand.
Quite a first world problem. I think it's just important how you greet the issue and how you move on. And we had a great moment to pivot, get to know our local law enforcement, and have a good day anyways.
They raised just over $1,000. Half of that will go back to the local schools in the area, and the other half will go to brain cancer research in honor of their mother.
All right. There's that story again from Germantown, Tennessee. Rogue Renegade Stand. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. We've got a lot more to the Todd Stearns Radio Show coming up next.
Immigrants proving what it truly means to be a dreamer. These folks aren't Americans too. They are America. They are the beating heart of this country. They are us and we are them. And to ignore this simple truth, to refuse to respect the contributions and experiences of people who aren't exactly like us, y'all, puts us all at risk. Failing to see the humanity in all people puts us all on a slippery slope.
All right, that's Mother Obama just moments ago delivering about a 20-minute attack on President Trump at the opening of the Obama presidential Death Star. By the way, all the presidents there except for Donald J. Trump, I don't think he was invited. You think he would have gone if he had been invited? Anyway, George W. was there, Bill Clinton there, Mrs. Bill Clinton, Hillary, pardon me, as well as Joe Biden and the nursemaid, Jill. So that's it's a rather motley crew there at the Obama presidential Death Star. We'll keep tabs on all of that. I think we're still waiting for Obama to speak. 901-260-5926, our number. Let's go to the phones here. Memphis, Tennessee, Dwight is listening to us on KWAM. Dwight, what is on your mind today?
Well, first of all, Todd, I appreciate the way your station and others show honor to veterans throughout the, 200 and almost 50 years, you know, of the military. But anyway, a couple of my sons, I have three, one's in heaven with my wife who went up there a year ago. But they had taken me around the Gulf out in Millington several years ago, and a man came by with a Vietnam cap on, and I said, "Welcome home, sir," or whoever, and he welcomed me home. And one of my sons, Jason, said, "Dad, do you know that fella?" And I have trouble saying this for many times, but I said, "Son, when we came home from Vietnam, they dishonored us, and we figured out a way to honor each other, and we just say, welcome home, whoever. So I just wanted to, I didn't even know why I was saying it. I figured it out right there. I said, we found a way to honor us home. So,
Dwight, what an incredible thing. And I had not heard that story before. But again, I think it's worth repeating for younger generations, especially our Gen Z audience and even millennials. They may not be aware of how our soldiers were treated when they came home from Vietnam and the amount of hate and vitriol that they were exposed to. That was just a very awful, awful moment in American history, but also a lesson that, you know, we've got to make sure that we do everything humanly possible to welcome all of our military personnel back home.
Well, you know, I had someone that I truly love that actually served in the Grenada, Russia sending in, to Cuba. But anyway, he found a way to honor himself, but still dishonor us. And I said, look, I'm not a fan of Jimmy Carter, but I do appreciate that he pardoned the ones that ran off to Canada, and we did need to welcome them home, but we do need to be welcomed, and thank you for all that. And
well said.
So people parse their words, even, you know, especially for Vietnam. So thank you a lot, Todd. I appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
Dwight, thank you for that call, and thank you for those kind words. And what a wonderful thing that you did. And, folks, so what a great thing, a reminder, you know, when you see a military veteran, you know, out there, be sure to acknowledge them and thank them for serving our country. 901-260-5926. Can we go back to what Michelle Obama said just a moment ago? Michelle Obama is out there saying that the Dreamers are America. Well, it turns out that yesterday we got word that one of the people involved in this terror attack on the White House and UFC Fight Night, the alleged plot to attack the White House, the ringleader, the mastermind, happened to be a Dreamer, a guy from Mexico. You can't make this up. He was granted Dreamer status by the Obama administration and was allowed to stay in the country, even though his B-2 visa expired in 2001. He was granted deportation relief under the Obama administration through the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, the DACA program. So just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, of the kinds of people that the Obamas welcomed into the country. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. May I just, I'm curious, maybe we should just do a brief survey here for our listening audience. I'm just wondering, how are you guys getting your news and information now? Are you still getting it through Fox News or Newsmax or One America News? Are you getting it from your traditional ABC, CBS, NBC nightly news? Are you getting it from your newspapers or, you know, the digital versions of your newspapers? And if so, what are the top websites that you go to looking for news and information? I will tell you, we are watching massive growth right now at toddstearns.com over on our page. I'm also wondering about podcasting, because I think a lot of people went there. There was a survey done, a study, really wasn't a survey, but a number of the cable news channels are losing audience, and by losing, I mean hemorrhaging audience. So people are going to other things to find their news and information. Dylan, I'm just curious. I mean, you're a Gen Zer, you're a conservative guy. Where do you
ever watch Fox News or Newsmax or any of these things?
Not unless I'm at my in-laws, if that makes sense.
God. So, no. So unless you're hanging out with the old folks.
Yes, yes. I get it from Twitter, really. That's like the main source of where I go, or X.
So you're getting it like on X or any podcasts that you enjoy?
Yeah, absolutely. I listen to a wide variety of podcasts, but usually on, you know, Spotify. YouTube now has a podcast feature, so yeah.
They're saying from TV Insider that MS Now, CNN, and Fox News, and I think you have to throw the others in there as well, viewership down 28% in the demo. That just first of all, the demo is getting older, which means the younger demo, so as they're aging out, they're either dying, and that's the problem with Fox News. Their audience is dying. And I remember when I was they were launching Fox Nation, and they thought that Fox Nation was going to be this cool, hip version of Fox News. But it turned out that just a bunch of old people signed up for it. And now they've got TV specials on national parks. I'm not kidding you. And then, look, there's nothing wrong with that. But part of the revenue generating, you know, they put together a plan, and part of the revenue plan was that it was so difficult for old people to unsubscribe that they would just keep that $25 a month or whatever it was until they kicked the bucket. I'm just saying. So I'm just curious, how are you getting your news when you're looking? Because a lot of people are not getting it from Fox anymore. And the numbers bear this out. A lot of people are cutting the cord. Unfortunately, mine is packaged with my Wi-Fi, or I would have cut the cord a long time ago. I just never watch cable at all. And honestly, and I hate to say this, but there's nothing original, right? It used to be, I don't know, back in the day, you know, Bill O'Reilly would have some sort of a, you know, you had Bill O'Reilly and then Gutfeld, you had Hannity, and everything is like so predictable now. And then on the other cable channels, it's all just wannabes, and they're not even anywhere. It's like nobody's not even close. And I think one of the big problems, I think, is that the cable TV, the conservative cable news networks, really haven't figured it out yet. They haven't figured out the formula. How do we reach younger generation conservatives? How do we do that? And one of the things I want to suggest, and this is just helpful information, is that you got to hire conservatives. I mean, that's a big part of the problem. If you've got a conservative cable news network and you just hire a bunch of liberals from far left news organizations, you're not going to get a conservative product. And unfortunately, that's a big challenge for a lot of these networks. My recommendation is to move your network to either, you know, Nashville or St. Louis or Kansas City. Get the national network out of New York City. I remember when Roger Ailes was alive and was building Fox News, and it was an honor to be there during the glory years. I mean, those were some fun times. But it was really an us versus them mentality. And now Fox and all the others, they all want the same accolades. They all want to go to the same parties. They want to go, they want to be able to hobnob. That's not the way it used to be. It was kind of us versus them. And those days have changed. I don't know if you've picked up on that, but it's really unfortunate. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Last night, Harmeet Dhillon, the Assistant Attorney General, dropped by the Newsmax show. Let's take a listen to a little bit of that conversation. Harmeet, so good to see you. And first, thank you for the great work that you're doing for the country. It is great to have you on Newsmax this evening.
Thanks for having me, Todd. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, let's just jump into it. I know Major League Baseball in hot water, they're claiming this is just about a uniform policy, but a lot of people out there, many people up on Capitol Hill, see this as targeted harassment against Christians. What say you?
Well, let's look at the legal framework. Under Title VII, which is administered for private employers like Major League Baseball teams by the EEOC or public employers, which I administer at the Civil Rights Division, it is illegal to treat employees differently in their terms and conditions of employment, promotion opportunities, hiring, etc., on the basis of protected characteristics. And religion is one of those protected characteristics under our federal laws. And so that doesn't automatically mean that the Major League Baseball employers are in the wrong here. But what it means is if they're treating people of faith and faith-based and their faith-based messages on their hats differently than, say, employees who want to have pins that are LGBTQ or other types of messaging on their hats, and they tolerate that. In other words, if they're applying that uniform policy in a discriminatory manner, that definitely could be the basis of an employment discrimination claim by a private lawyer or by the EEOC. And so that is where I'm telling people to look, is like, you should definitely have a lawyer take a look at this, and or call my friend Andrea Jacobs, who's the chair over there at the EEOC, and they take care of these types of matters.
And again, I think the issue is the word force. Were they forced or were they strongly encouraged? And that's something for the lawyers to wrangle over. But there have been some really troubling issues involving Christians and professional sports. The Washington Nationals dismissed one of their workers after they were caught going after a Catholic player. So what is the guidance, the advice? Maybe people need to be reminded when it comes to issues regarding religious liberty in the workplace.
So, you know, you don't have an endless right to an accommodation for your faith, but, you know, the employer has to make a bona fide effort to accommodate, a good faith effort to accommodate a bona fide religious belief. And so, for example, this comes up when people are wearing yarmulkes, or they are on a union schedule and they want to observe the Sabbath, or they want to have the Saturday or the Sunday off, or some other faith. In this case, it's a little bit different. It is about whether you're unevenly applying your uniform policies. In other words, sort of targeting, harassing, or discriminating, or retaliating against somebody because of their faith. That's also illegal. So it isn't an accommodation requirement analysis. It's whether they're targeting people because of their faith. And so if a baseball player can prove that the guy standing next to him is allowed to wear a rainbow pin on his hat or scrawl some other type of a message that Major League Baseball likes, then they're not really applying their uniform policy. They're just applying it against Christians, and that's not acceptable. And so I think that's where I would look. I don't have enough facts to know whether that's what they're doing, but you know, like if you're working at a bar and you have all these pieces of flair on your jacket, but the cross is not allowed, or the feet representing unborn children is not allowed, you might have a claim on religious discrimination.
And Harmeet, there's another crazy story out of California that seems to be ground zero for crazy these days, where there was a public utility that put out an item that certainly appeared to imply that they were only looking for contracts from LGBT businesses, and you had to prove that you were in fact an LGBT business. What can you tell us about that?
I'm cracking up a little bit because the idea of proving how gay you are, it just is kind of anathema and silly. But I want to be fair to this utility. It doesn't originate from the utility. This crazy policy is a dictate from California's Public Utilities Commission, and the LGBTQ part is a tiny part of it. The big scandal is that they hand out contracts and they force the utilities to use suppliers on the basis of race and gender, and then LGBTQ is kind of the one that's getting the press right now, but I think it's a much larger scandal than what you're talking about. And so I'm going to break some news for you here, Todd. I just sent a letter in the last few minutes to all the commissioners of California's Public Utilities Commission, warning them that the supplier diversity program that they're forcing down the throats of California's public utilities providers is unconstitutional, and that private parties could sue them for that, such as potential vendors to public utilities that are not selected for contracts because they don't check the boxes of the protected categories that they're trying to favor. And of course, the United States Department of Justice, if the Attorney General certifies that the case is in the national interest, could unleash me on the Public Utilities Commission and on companies that are violating the civil rights of potential suppliers in their state.
All right. So if you want to continue listening to the rest of the interview with Hermie Dillon, head over to toddstearns.com. By the way, we have some great news stories up, including an update on our story with the bakery in Minnesota. You're going to want to read that. And we also have some wild stories about what's happening out on Long Island, where the American Legion is fighting back over a gay pride event, where they're actually posting gay pride flags over veterans' banners. We've got the story. We have the video. We have photos. You can see all of that over at toddstearns.com. All right, we've got to scoot out of here, folks. It has been another terrific day on the radio. Thank you all so very much for joining us, for being a part of our audience. Thank you to our great radio station affiliates across the nation. Folks, get out there. Have a great day, everybody. You be good, America.